Deconstructing psyops, propaganda, and mainstream media BS. You're with Brian McClain on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, welcome back, everybody. What a show. Big thanks to Alan for joining us in the second hour there. That was amazing. You're definitely going to want to pick up a copy of his book, Face Masks Hurt Kids. And if you missed the first hour, I did sort of a follow-up to yesterday's monologue on technocracy and all of that stuff. It was so much to go through there, just to kind of shore up some of the pathway that led to the recent Biden executive order that just came out with regards to bio-commercialism, biotechnology, all this other bio and AI garbage that they think we want, that they think we need, that they think is going to provide us some sort of superiority over China, ostensibly. But I guess it's just a happy coincidence that it sets up an eternal, entire, nightmarish grid of track and trace and pre-crime and pre-health and pre-mental health sort of diagnoses that will be dished out by artificial intelligence applications, which only have a 70-some-odd success rate. So they say, so they claim. That's what they claim when they're allowed to do their own assessments of their own software. So 27% of the time, these AIs are wrong right now. And that's the direction they want to take us in. No thanks. No thanks. As a citizen of this country, I will tell the Biden administration, you can close that black bag with the dollar sign on it, and you can cancel those requests for proposal from all of these ghoulish technocrat companies to realize this garbage, because none of us voted on it. None of us want it. None of us want it. Some of us may think we want it, but when we find out how that actually is, what the black mirror lifestyle looks like, you're going to find that all the people that thought it was so cool to allow government, to allow the federal government to be our daddy, and how that's not working out. That's not working out. Any adult that tells another adult who's your daddy, you know what position you're in, and it's not one of freedom and liberty. All right, American Airlines passenger detained by FBI after allegedly assaulting attendant on a flight from Los Cabos to Los Angeles. The individual involved in this incident will never be allowed to travel with us in the future, and we will work closely with law enforcement in their investigation, the airline said. My goodness, what did this guy do? Assaulted an attendant on the flight from San Jose del Cabo, Mexico to Los Angeles on Wednesday. Law enforcement were waiting for American Airlines flight when it landed in LA due to an unruly passenger who physically assaulted a flight attendant. Oh boy, I don't even want to know. I know it wasn't mask related this time, but maybe, who knows, man? People got so used to just getting tanked in the airports. I think this is probably just an alcohol problem. People just get so tanked in the airports these days because the airports are not doing well. Everything's delayed. The flights are delayed. And people have spent the last 2 years having to drink their way through the stupid mask mandate. There you go. That's my estimation. I don't know. Why was the FBI contacted, though? I don't know. If you read this one and you know more about it, feel free to send me an email, brianmcclain@tntradio.live. That's where you get a hold of me. Thanks to everybody that has emailed so far. So are you enjoying listening to TNT Radio? Do you think we're doing a good job? Please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review or comment on Facebook, Gab, or Gitter, and help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk.
Covering the world's news.
I like to hear what's going on around the world.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, all right. Welcome back, everybody. So, Sumo is the Starfleet commander of the mystical American Patriot Society, which, as you know, if you've been hanging here on the show, is a worldview repair service constructed to combat demonic entities using sophisticated metaphysical technologies. He trains people in spiritual self-defense techniques against all manner of phantasmic creatures, including, but not limited to, Wetiko, Succubi, Wendigo, Familiars, Poltergeist, and Jinn. Sumo, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Hesher? You know, are we sure that that flight attendant didn't deserve it?
We're not.
Exactly.
Maybe he or she did.
I hate the assumption that when you hear these people like get, you know, assaulted or killed, it's like, yeah, but what did they do though?
Mm-hmm.
I just always want to know, you know, because there's, I mean, most flight attendants are fine, but I've met a couple that would deserve to be like thrown off the plane.
Oh yeah. There's two sides to that story for sure. And they never tell us the other side. I mean, short of the ones where you see the cell phone videos, the embarrassing cell phone videos, but notice they didn't embed an embarrassing cell phone video on this one, just a narrative. Right.
And there has to be one. I mean, there's so many people on a plane. One person's going to be taking a
video. Oh, yeah. Why would you not? I mean, you might get a TikTok. You might get a TikTok viral or something.
Yeah. The gone are the days you could just get in fist fights without being on the internet about it.
Right? Oh, my gosh, man.
I mean, in the olden days, you could just get in fist fights and that was fine. And that was the end of it. And now everyone has to look and comment on it. And the worst part is, no matter what you do, there's going to be someone commenting, like critiquing your fighting form. And that's just going to be annoying. Like, oh, his hand should have been up. That was a bad sprawl. And this, ugh.
Yeah. Annoying. Everybody's an armchair Joe Rogan now because of UFC.
Everyone's an armchair Joe Rogan. This is remarkable because Joe Rogan is so small. Most people would probably beat him up.
Yeah, man, he has to get up early and work out hard to remain that ripped for his stature, for sure.
He's like 5'5". He's a very small man.
Yeah, yeah, he's not a tall guy. Yeah, I saw him.
I'm not sure how he became the paragon of masculinity, being like, you know,
yeah,
as small as a Christmas elf, but whatever.
Yeah. Oh, go back and watch News Radio and you can see what he looked like before he was into physical fitness and is like, oh, that is, yeah, when he was small framed, it was even more stark.
Well, yeah, before he was into physical fitness, meaning before he blasted steroids and human growth hormone.
Right. Before he turned into the 5'5" Red Hulk.
Yeah, he took stuff that made, yeah, as Joey Diaz does, he's on the stuff that makes his head grow. His skull's gotten progressively bigger and
this
more.
His skull is getting bigger, I think. I was wondering if they changed lenses on the camera, but I think you're right.
No, that's HGH, man. It makes your skull big. You can see that on baseball players that are like Mark McGwire had that big skull, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah, he had a big old
head. Yeah.
Oh man. So, all right. So, let's see here. So I was listening to, the latest Mystical American Patriot Society and you guys were cracking me up because I've thought about this before. It was one of your topics you brought up on the show. You're talking about the pre-Trump and Trump era blue check marks. Where are they now? I was cracking up because I've been asking myself a lot about some of these people and I thought of a couple others. But
oh yeah,
Yeah. So you talked about Baked Alaska. Remember, like there was this, and for folks that don't know, oh my gosh, yeah. For folks that don't know, there was this whole because we have a lot of new listeners around here. It's a relatively new network, and a lot of new listeners come in, and maybe people weren't tuned in to the whole phenomena that was going on there. Maybe we could throw some context at this before I mention any of these characters for anyone who kind of doesn't know what the meme and live stream and blood sport era was like. You know, I mean, this was huge on the internet.
Oh yeah, it was. I think the modern version started, you could probably say, with Gamergate, and then there was a long period of a bunch of people that had no business being in any way known by anybody, just sort of accidentally bubbled to the front of the conversation as people fumbled around trying to figure out what it is they were arguing about. And one of those people was Baked Alaska, who was, he would wear a mullet and bleach his hair and wear like furs, like he was an 80s pimp. And he would try to rap poorly. And then he would get in an RV and go throw sodas at people, I think is what happened, and call them retards and get in a fight with them and then claim it was just a prank, bro. And that's how he ended up. But for a while there, he was a thought leader. He was a thought leader.
Right. Yeah. Thought leader / thought criminal. I guess a lot of these people went from like gamers or pickup artist sort of people to, I guess, thought leaders to thought criminals to completely canceled, I guess.
Yeah, it was like this confluence of I don't even know, gamers and guys doing shady female manipulation termed pickup artistry, and a masculinity sphere run by a large steroid blasting homosexual man who worships Thor.
Right. And I remember that.
Yeah. But a bunch of weird characters, and it was just fascinating to watch. And almost all of them, to a person, just sort of flamed out in the blaze of glory and disappeared. I don't know, but it was fascinating to watch. And I was thinking back on them, and so many of them are just disappeared. But one day that will happen. One day that will happen to you and me.
I know, right? The natural course, right?
Natural course of any internet personality.
Right. Yeah. E-fame is fickle and fleeting, friends. We can tell you that. And it was funny, Suma, how kind of like you had the Gamergate and then sort of the pickup artist culture and then the manosphere and then the like the incel movement, the low status male movement. And then that all sort of got stuck under the alt-right umbrella. I guess there was the traditionalists, too, and sort of that like Richard Spencer nationalist.
It was a weird grouping of people.
It sure was.
It was a weird grouping of people. And they were racist in theory, although not really in practice, which was strange. That was this one of the strangest things. It's like they were all like, we don't like Mexicans. But then they'd all have like a Mexican girlfriend or something.
Yeah, know. In theory, definitely.
It was a very strange grouping of people. And allegedly anti-Semitic, but their biggest thought leader was a Jewish guy named Minchius Molbug, Curtis Yarvin. And so none of it made any sense, but you know, it was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, it was a time of great ideological confusion and trajectories colliding under one umbrella somehow, seemingly. Who would have thunk it would end up that way, and they would all get painted with, you know, the orange man bad talking points. They'd all get painted with the racist talking points, even though, as you said, it was almost more outrage click oriented than actual practice or ideology. Is really strange to see it all, you know, and they canceled so many people from Twitter. I guess Twitter is sort of one of our barometers there, because a lot of those people got canceled from Twitter, still remain to be. You know what I find really funny, though, is Richard Spencer is still on Twitter. Out of all the people that we're talking about, the one that was demonized the most.
Well, Spencer, I'm almost certain, took an FBI deal to be an informant. And that's why he's still alive, because he was in trouble after Charlottesville. And I think they told him, listen, you just do what we say and tell us, you try to be a honeypot and pass along names of anyone that sends you messages that might be incriminating, and we will not prosecute. But I'm almost certain that's what happened to him, because his behavior changed dramatically after that. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, a lot of these people's behavior changed after certain events. You guys brought up Ollie Alexander. That was a strange character that just sort of like, I don't know. There was a lot of shady stuff going on there with that one. Actually, I recall on Boiler Room breaking down an article we found where they were talking about how he was kind of looking like maybe a little bit of a federal asset also. And he was out there, recall, with the megaphone at the Stop the Steal thing in Georgia, that kind of was the precursor to J6, right?
Yeah, I would love to be a federal asset. I wish they would offer me some money to be a federal asset, but they never do. I've asked them repeatedly on my show, like, hey, CIA, make me a secret agent, but they just don't ever respond.
I don't blame them for
being a federal asset, you know, but... I mean, in Spencer's case, and probably Ali's, because he almost certainly embezzled some money. I don't know that for sure, but they both probably, it was either that or jail. So whatever, you know, I'm not mad at him.
Options, right? You got only a certain amount of options. What's a guy going to do?
Right.
All right, man. I'm going to take a quick station break here with today's news talk, and we'll be right back with Sumo, everybody.
TNT Radio's O'Meara and Borgeson.
The Queen left her son with huge shoes to fill, and the question now becomes, who is he really? And what kind of player will he be on this current world stage that is so different from the time his mother embarked on her journey as a monarch?
Yeah, you know, Christine, it's going to be very, very interesting to watch this unfold. You know, whatever you think about the future of the monarchy, you have to admit that Elizabeth II handled it with great dignity and grace, I think. I mean, can you argue with that?
I don't want to say anything untoward about the Queen because she did her job quite well. But, you know, the monarchy itself, for a lot of people, what it represents, how it got to be the monarchy, and so on, that's a problem for a lot of people.
O'Meara and Borgeson on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On the day that he was inaugurated, the Washington Post had an article on impeaching him.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
They had an absolute legitimate meltdown.
If you try to change a system that big, the system fights back.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
I actually became infuriated that someone had allowed Zuckerberg to tip the scale.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided.
This was the greatest billionaire assault on election integrity we've ever seen.
A billionaire-funded plot against the president.
Do you believe that they used the COVID emergency as an excuse to pull this partisan voter turnout operation?
Am I allowed to give you a one-word answer? Yes.
Rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com.
This is TNT Radio, where you meet the entire menagerie of mankind.
And some who haven't yet been cataloged.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
That's right. One of those who has not yet been cataloged is my current guest, Sumo. He is the captain and the Starfleet commander over there at the Mystical American Patriots Society podcast, which I highly recommend you get subscribed to. Make sure you got that thing automatically beaming into your smart cellular mobile device via his satellite connections from outer space. We're talking to Sumo from the Mystical American Patriot Society command ship right now, right here on TNT on the Brian McClain Show. Sumo, welcome back, man. We're having a bit of a discussion about the where are they now? What happened to all the interesting and outrageous blue check marks that we used to have in the Trump and pre-Trump days? We talked about Ollie there, Baked Alaska. You also brought up Milo. Remember Milo? Boy, did that guy a bazillion clicks.
Milo was so hot for a good year and maybe a half. And then he just sort of went up in a burst of pedophilia accusations and then married a man and then didn't anymore. And then he was selling statues of the Virgin Mary on like a Catholic QVC last I saw him, and now he's gone away. And I don't think there could have been any better arc to that story than to that whole thing was just perfect the way it happened.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was a Cinderella story, you know. Saying my best Caddyshack voice.
It was a Cinderella story where the realistic thing happened, and she went back to ashes.
Yep,
she was, and that was what should have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with mm-hmm. Milo. And I think he's better off for it. If he'd have been, stayed fair, he'd have been driven insane.
Yeah, that was not a mentally healthy public relations campaign that he was on there. My goodness. And there was so much money behind him, too, you know, because he had that what was it, Blaze or Breitbart? He had someone's money behind him, and it was, you know, big Breitbart money. But a lot of these guys actually, some, it's interesting because some of these guys had big money behind them, and others were, you know, totally pulled up by their bootstraps.
Yeah. Although I think it would be surprising to learn. I think if we knew, probably a lot we assumed were pulled up by their bootstraps had money pushing them forward in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was a lot of moneyed interest pushing forward various quote unquote thought leaders that would derail whatever sort of movement was happening.
Yeah. And the, this sphere of people, I would imagine, because I've heard of this stuff happening just in independent and alternative media, are susceptible to the nameless donor thing, you know, where it's like, oh, I just got, you know, whoa, I just got $10,000 in my PayPal from some guy I've never heard of in Pakistan.
Yeah.
You know, and he likes it when I do this topic this way. And then all of a sudden they start just going, you know, okay, I lean in this direction. Like, it's really easy to manipulate content creators in that way.
Absolutely. You don't even have to be overt about it. Just every time they touch on the thing you want them to say, dump a load of cash after that episode and they'll get the hint pretty quickly. That's what happened, I think, to what's his name on YouTube that wears the beanie?
Tim Pool.
Yeah, Tim Pool. They were just like, just keep getting angry and upset about stuff and saying the left journalism and wear your beanie. And the money keeps coming, and he knows what to stay away from and whatnot. It didn't even have to be, you know, overt. It's just a very, it's just driven by market forces, which is why I almost never look at when the small amount of donations that our show gets, I almost never look at them or who gave them when. And some could say that that's me being inconsiderate to their gifts, but really it is me protecting myself from that. That's what I say anyway. Rather than
there you
just,
go.
I'm not very much.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, also though, people would have to pay us more than like $15 for it to start. So like, I've never gotten that big anonymous donor, anything, you know?
Right. Yeah, we're not getting invited to Neom, the city of Neom, or we're not getting invited to go on the SpaceX rocket with Justin Bieber, not even getting those, you know, those big invites, nothing like that. I don't know what we're doing wrong, Sumo. I guess we should just keep doing what we're doing, though, because honestly, that all sounds a little bit frightening to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would go. I wouldn't change my behavior. And I think that then they would stop giving me the stuff. Mm-hmm. But I would, you know, if they invited me to CPAC or something, or the Club of Rome, I'd go and hang out, you know, and talk to everybody. And like, okay, I'm going to go back and talk about the same stuff.
Right.
You know, which is why I think I advocate this to every listener. If you want to be beyond the control of money, this is a spiritual practice you can do. Every now and then, you don't have to do it often. When you're driving down the road, take out a $20 bill and just throw it out the window. Just let it go. And then you get in the habit of like, oh, I can just burn money if I need to. And that grip that people can use to control you goes away. Now, will people get upset with you for doing that? Like, has my wife yelled at me a few times for throwing $200 out of the window? Yes. But after some talking, she realized that it was a good idea, you know? So it's that you have to negotiate it in your life. But I think it's a good practice to do. I've thrown lots of money over a bridge in my life. And, you know, that way I feel like that has given me an armor against being manipulated by cash, because it's just like, oh, here comes some more cash. I can throw it over if I need to. If they want me to stop talking about something, you know, that I feel is important, I can just throw that over the window and go on.
See, there you go. That's why we love Sumo over there at Alternate Current Radio and here at TNT. Out of the box thinking right there. That worldview repair service, you know, you're just not going to find anyone else with a worldview repair service that will tell you to quite literally toss a 20 out the window while you're driving for your own mental health.
Oh, it's absolutely imperative because you people, I mean, even in small things, like people feel locked into their job they hate and they can't say no to their boss. And it's just this money vice. And it's like, just let it go. Just let it go. And then you can be free and nothing bad happens. You know, have I not had money sometimes? Sure. But I'm still alive. It's okay. You know, we never like lost our house or anything. And, but that lets you be like, no, I'm not going to do this thing that I find unethical just because the money's there, you know, and you don't get rich doing this, but you do gain a sense of mental clarity. So, right. Yeah, everyone throw something out the way or light it on fire, whatever you want to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There you go. So
and if a 20 is too hard for you, start with a dollar.
There you go. Yeah. Start with a dollar.
No metal. You're throwing a thousand.
Right. No coins though. That doesn't have the same effect. You have to at least do a dollar.
Yeah. You have to at least do a dollar. At least do a dollar.
All right. Yeah. For that effect, you know, cause what we're looking to do here with this idea is to strengthen our armor, our spiritual and mental armor against things that are designed to control us.
Which is almost always financial. Almost all the control mechanisms are financial in nature. It's the threat of removing money, the promise of future money, it's debt. Almost all the ways people are it's very little physical force. It's very, the tyranny's almost, because they don't have the manpower to do that. There just aren't enough police and soldiers to like patrol the vast continent of America and ensure behavior, even if they wanted to. The way they get compliance is through financial control and financial threats, implicit or explicit. And the way you move beyond that is you'd be like, well, I transcend money.
There you go. Above money. And then yes. You become not
controllable in that way, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Hold that thought. We're going to pick up right there on the other side of a break with today's news talk.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Former President Trump continues to insist he declassified all the records amid the probe into what the FBI sees from his Mar-a-Lago home. There was a second earthquake in Mexico this week, where one woman was killed falling down the stairs of her home while a man died of a heart attack. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is asking allied nations for more support in his country's fight against Russia. He appeared virtually in a pre-recorded message to the UN Assembly on Wednesday afternoon.
Don't miss a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back. We've got Sumo from the Mystical American Patriot Society podcast with us here on the Brian McLean Show. And before the break, Sumo, we were talking about how control is largely financial. And I'm thinking right now what some of our biggest issues are. We've got our food supply issues, our fuel issues, our energy issues. And what do you know? They're all being manipulated financially and via agendas leading toward other financial goals. So, I mean, this is happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the individual level and on the corporate level, the governmental level. The way tyrants get compliance is almost always through financial until the very late stages when they may have to pull out the guns. But like, if you want a state or a city to do things that you want, like be a sanctuary city or whatever, just say, if you declare yourself sanctuary city, you get more money. And people are like, well, that sounds good. I'll do that. If you, you know, and if you support whatever program is, you get money, you get credits, tax credits or whatever. If you want to control a corporation, you do it through their ESG score, their environmental, social, government score, and all these things which dole out like prizes and rankings to get funding and investors in various ways. It's all financial. It's a giant pyramid. That's why, you know, you can't serve God and money and mammon. It doesn't work.
Right, right. Yeah, it's just they're mutually exclusive because, like you said, it's like the larger scale of what we were talking about with nudging influencers by, you know, tipping the tip jar absurd amounts or something like that regularly when they do certain talking points or behaviors. It's the same thing at the corporate level, at the municipal level, state level. Just give them money for those programs. You create a need for the program because you've set up basically a program of record that has a known amount of money coming into it, and people build careers on it.
Yeah, and it's all the way down. I mean, this is how diversity stuff is pushed, because you get this whole like quote unquote nonprofit industry behind it that's funneling money left and right. This is how the green movement is pushed. This is how they're going to make people eat bugs. I mean, you don't have to eat bugs if you don't want to, but they'll be financially incentivized for like bug protein. It'll be tax credits and all this stuff, make it cheaper at the store, get people used to it. It's just, you have to get beyond the money thing. And until people can do that, it will continue to, things will continue to degenerate in the country.
Yeah. There's no way they're going to get mass uptake on eating the bugs unless the hamburger is $500 a pound and the bugs are $5 a pound. That's really the way that's going to happen.
Right. It will never be. There'll never be a guy with a gun saying, eat the bugs or I'll shoot.
Yeah.
It will just be, if you, in the future, you're going to have to be more. That's why on the show, sometimes we'll tell people, you know, be a little bit more self-reliant. Like maybe have your own cow, maybe have your own chickens if possible, because like if you notice the giant push against milk, you want everything. Milk except milk, oat milk, coconut milk, almond milk, all these things that don't have milk.
You know,
only mammals have milk. And they were trying to get all this. But you could be like, well, you know, I got my own cow. I'm good. One dairy cow can make 3 to 4 gallons of milk a day. It's crazy. I mean, there's no need for all this stuff, but you know, when people give up their sovereignty and their responsibility and put it into the hands of others, it falls into these financial control mechanisms. It's just a slow process of reclaiming it.
Right. And they're shifting everything around right now. I mean, arguably what's gone on in the last 2.5 years has just been, they called it warp speed to create the gene jab. But really what it was warp speeding was just the consolidation of resources and the writing of new policy and legislation that sort of institutionalizes the state or the federal or the world governments to just, you know, make it legal to do this kind of stuff, to track and trace us, to change us to CBDC, to force the tanking of our economy, force the tanking of our fuel system, and conveniently throw a war in there with that one. So it's just like, you know, it's easy to see what they're doing at this point, and it all leads back to that.
Yeah, it all leads back, like, it's the other component is fear, just coming up with a narrative to make people afraid, and then they give up their freedoms voluntarily. Everything is voluntary at some level, and so people will give it up for, you know, it's just like they still take off their shoes at the airport because allegedly one guy tried to light a sandal on fire one time. We don't even know if that really happened, you know. It's just, yeah, just somebody did that. And but if people were just like, you know, I'm not going to fly anywhere that makes me do that, then it would stop, you know. But people, they don't. It's a gradual process of habituating people to servitude, and they just get more and more okay with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. You know, I mean, think about the body scanners at the airports too. You know, those things are not good for any human body, especially if you're in them over and over and over again. And hardly anybody opts out of them. Like I opt out of them every time. And I think one time actually recently I saw someone else opt out aside from Jill and I, you know, and it was like, oh, wow. You know, and you just watch all these people go through it and go through it and go through it. I'll take their shoes off. And it's like, you just don't even think about it anymore. And I'm afraid that's how it's going to end up with the whole, you know, pandemic industrial complex. Like if we don't remain vocal about it, is, you know, they can just declare monkeypox or, you know, wombat pox or whatever. And then we're right back to living our entire reality as like a TSA line reality, you know, hosted and enforced by, you know, teenagers and people in their 20s and people with blue hair and ex-felons.
Yeah, and it is, it's this, because it's really quite hard to get a genocide going. Yeah, you know, it's a lot of work. You know, like, people don't, in general, want to kill a bunch of other people. I mean, they may want to abstractly, but actually, like, pulling the trigger or knifing someone is pretty visceral, and a lot of people won't do it. So you have to really get them into this thing where it's sort of automatic and robotic. And that's why I think the COVID stuff was particularly sort of, what would you say, nefarious, because there was this thing every time you walk into a building, it was like, okay, we walk into a building and then you put a gun to your head. Just doop, boop. And it was a little thermometer, you know, like boop. And then so you do that for a while, and that just habituates people just a little bit into getting a little device pointed at their head and someone else in a uniform to doing it. And you just do that over and over again until, you know, this is like in militaries, until after World War, or during World War II and before, in World War I, on the American Army side, at least, only 2% of soldiers shot to kill because they just couldn't do it. They were just like, you know, and only a few people could actually like put their sights on a gun. Most people were just shooting in the vague direction of the enemy, you know. But then after World War II, they figured it out that they needed to make the targets look, instead of like circles with like a bullseye, you made them look like angry men. And you would do all these things and like come up with these words for the enemy of like how they were dehumanized the enemy. And then in Vietnam, they got the shoot to kill rate up to 50%. Or I'm sorry, not Vietnam, Korea. So just once they figured that tweak out, like we have to habituate people into killing and change our language, you can do it. And so this you see that a lot, this habituation towards a sort of robotic killing machine, you know, that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it is voluntary. You walk into the building, you're like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. And then boop, and then you die. But that's how genocides happen. Not that I'm doing fear porn or anything to anybody. I think everything can be fine if you want it to be. But
yeah,
just sort of that process is how those things occur.
Right. Well, my previous guest, we were talking about masks. He wrote a book called Face Masks Hurt Kids. And he was talking about sort of the same thing. And he said they in the health region, they call this public health motivation theory. And he kind of broke down what public health motivation theory was. And when he got done, I was like, oh, that's just classic collectivism. That's collectivism right there. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we're kind of what we're getting when it comes to all this stuff. The classic sort of collectivism where it's like, I may not want to take your experimental shot, but I'll do it because everyone else is doing it because you're a terrible person if you're not doing it and you're allowing grandma to die if you don't do it. So there's that whole collectivist thing. But man, I hope that's wearing off. I feel like that is wearing off. I see a lot of people flying their individual flags out there these days.
Yeah, so that would be number two. So number one is throwing money out of a window. And number two, to avoid being like this sort of control mechanism, is shave half of your face. Only half. Or wear a silly hat. Or something that makes you, that brings looks and laughter at you in public. And do it for like a week or two. And then you will get used to social shame. And you'll be like, this is okay. I am fine with being laughed at and being ridiculed. And then you move beyond that measure of control as well. Because only someone that is okay with being mocked can actually speak the truth in a tyrannical system.
There you go. So folks, you can go out there and make a spectacle of yourself, invite some social shame, do it for a week or two. And you know,
I used to wear a kimono to the gas station. That's how.
Oh, there you go.
And I had those wooden Japanese sandals, you know, and I'm not Japanese looking at all. And I would clop around like clop, clop, clop. But I did that very purposely, not only because I think I look good in a kimono, but because I wanted to just be used to people looking at me like I was an idiot and like, that's okay. And then when COVID came around, I was like, well, it's fine. I don't care if people think I'm an idiot. I'm already used to that. And that allows you to rise above it. So the money and the social shame, you got to get rid of both of them.
There you go. There you go. All right. Another lesson learned on the Worldview Repair Service. Starship Captain here, Sumo. Sumo is with me. He's the host of the Mystical American Patriot Society, which you can find and get signed up on for those automatic downloads on all the good podcasting platforms. Or you can head on over to alternatecurrentradio.com and check them out over there, too. You'll find him and sometimes his co-host slash clone, Smokestack, hanging out in our Discord server. So you can interact with them when we're premiering episodes of their show. all right, well, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back, we'll do another segment. And in the next segment, maybe we'll talk about the influencers that stuck around and compare them to the ones that are in the Where Are They Now list. And or maybe we'll talk about cattle mutilations turning into something that is Tucker Carlson worthy in 2022. Kind of weird. All right, everybody, we're going to be right back. This is today's News Talk.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Hurricane Fiona is a Category 4 hurricane. It is going to bypass Bermuda to the west. Bermuda will have hurricane conditions. But then it's going to hit the Canadian Maritime provinces, and it will be the most extreme tropical cyclone ever to hit Canada. And yes, it is going to be extreme. That's the thing on my side of the issue with me. I don't deny something. Most systems are not getting stronger, but this one will be. It will break every pressure and wind record for that part of Canada that's going to hit. It's going to hit on the weekend. In the meantime, storm is going to organize in the Western Caribbean, come up into the Gulf of Mexico, and we'll probably have a major hurricane hit in Florida next week. On CFACT, who I write for, I am informing Governor DeSantis he's got to get ahead of this for various reasons. And one of the reasons is because the supply chain has been destroyed by Joe Biden's policies. I'll get into that tomorrow. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The truth is out there. All the other stations suck.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. We're in the final segment of the Brian McClain Show here on today's News Talk. That's TNTRadio.live. For those archives, if you missed any of today's show, you want to make sure and get the mobile app too. You can find the archives in the mobile app. It's quite handy, quite handy. I'm joined by Sumo. Sumo, thanks for joining me today, man. It's been a really fun discussion. So far, just to recap, we did a little bit of a Where Are They Now with the Trump era blue check mark people that sort of all came from Gamergate, PUA culture, Manosphere, alt-right, on and on and on. And then we got into some practical suggestions from the Worldview Repair Service here. Starfleet Captain Sumo says maybe you should spend a week or two bringing some public shame to yourself. Do something silly. Shave half your beard off. Shave half your head. Dyeing your hair blue does not count. I'm sorry. That is more collectivism. So blue or rainbow hair does not count. You need to do something something a little bit more out of the ordinary. And then the other one is toss money, toss a 20 or a 1 out the window of the car every time you drive, just so that you can get used to not being controlled by money or shame. All right. So there you go. There you go. Out of the box thinking by Sumo here on the show. So Sumo, I thought of a couple that I didn't hear you guys mention with regards to Where Are They Nows. And one that I'm going to shout out Smokestack for mentioning. Smokestack mentioned Sidney Powell. And you guys were like, where is she? Yeah. I had to look it up. I looked it up while I was listening. And she's still out there. You can buy her new book, everybody. I'm not being paid to promote it for her. I don't know if it's good. I don't know anything about it. But she's on the author tip right now. So she has weathered the storm in some way, shape, or form, and is an author now.
Yeah, she was. Wasn't she? I don't. she's so, you know, these things go by so fast and are so ephemeral. Wasn't she in Q a little bit?
I think so. Yeah, yeah. Definitely got painted with it.
And I still support Q. It was completely nonsensical. But that's what made it great, is that instead they had a whole bunch of people trusting a plan about Hillary Clinton being in a tunnel. And I just thought that was fantastic. I don't know. It was, this is the height of absurdity. And, you know, I think the election probably was fraudulent, but the idea that there were sealed indictments in like an underground base or something was lunacy. And I approve of it. I wish it would make a resurgence come the next election. I hope that Q comes back to posting and people, because the people were so friendly. You know, I didn't believe in Q a bit, but I would get on the forums and they'd go, listen, where we go one, we go all, brother. And they'd say things like, we're going to all ascend to the fifth dimension. And I was like, yeah, this is good vibes. You know, good vibes.
I think it is going to make a comeback. I definitely am hearing rumblings of its comeback. I've heard rumblings of, it's kind of been there in the background this whole time, right? With the whole Biden's on a soundstage thing and Trump's still running things in the background. He's just playing along like the vaccine thing is okay. And like, he didn't have any, you know, anything to account for. Yeah. So, you know, there's still a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's always, the thing I love about it, man, is it's always heroes and villains. They have so many classic heroes and villains in their mythology. And it's like, we don't get that in our current mythology anymore. You watch, you know, a new Star Wars thing or whatever, sci-fi or whatever, you know, I don't know, drama. And it's like, there's no clear hero or villain anymore. That whole Joseph Campbell like arc is just gone. Everybody's like a complex character full of their own evils and, you know, hang ups, and bad guy's the good guy. There's just nothing there anymore. But Q, man, in that mythology, we got heroes and villains, and we can all just sit back and eat Doritos while they sort it out.
Yeah, and it was great. I mean, when you say heroes, the people, if you weren't into the Q thing, you don't realize how insane it got. Now, and also how, like, it was based in some reality. Like, I think there probably is a large conspiracy of pedophilia going on. I think the fact that you had Epstein's Island is sort of like, yeah, okay. And it probably, maybe they do have an underground base somewhere. I don't know. We've covered that on Mystical American Patriot Society sometimes. But
yeah.
It also had this influx of, for whatever reason, the people that gravitated that were like very new agey people. And like, no joke, one time I was in a forum talking with them. She was like, listen, I was like, where did you get this information? And she said, her answer was, I channeled it from Ashtar, who is a Palladian space being on a ship on the other side of the moon, watching over Earth with his co-pilots, Jesus and Buddha. And I was like, wow, you don't get any more mythological. I mean, that's great. Jesus on a spaceship on the other side of the moon, ready to swoop in and install Trump. I mean, it was perfect. I love it. Gosh, I wish it'd come back. I love that sort of insane thinking.
Yeah, we could write a sequel to that. That should be a movie first and foremost. Then we should have the sequel the prequel, where they go up there and they clean up all of the Nazi zombies that are inhabiting the dark side of the moon, just so that they could, you know, stage that base for this operation.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I agree with you. Although I don't know, Ingo Swann, the great channeler of the past, who was in Operation Stargate, where they tried to do the remote viewing thing in the CIA.
Uh-huh.
He claimed that when the CIA remote viewed the dark side of the moon, that what's actually there is not Nazis, but very chiseled and handsome, blue-skinned, naked men who are all working on some sort of base. That's also crazy. But if we're going
sounds
there...
Sounds like Watchmen.
Yeah, that's where they got the idea.
Like the plot of Watchmen.
I think Watchmen got that from Ingo Swann and his, Ingo Swann was very, all of his channeling was somehow very homoerotic. It always had a naked man in it somewhere, and his book was called Penetration, and it was all CIA spooky stuff. But it was, I feel like that could be in the Q movie. I may start pretending to be Q next time. I don't know.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, I don't know what you do to like post this Q, but maybe we will.
I think you just need to make up a handle, you know, like go to 8chan or 4chan. You make up a handle that somehow has, you know, Qology of some sort in it, or yeah, and you're part of it.
Start going, yeah,
kind of like Anonymous, right? I mean, also think of it like this: like, remember when Anonymous first came out? They were actually like accomplishing some things that made sense, like in a bipartisan or independent sort of way. And now, if you look at all the various Anonymous accounts, they're all just like anti-Russia and pro-Ukraine and pro-jab. I don't know. It's really strange the way some of these things have changed since they first got introduced and became, you know, noteworthy.
Any successful movement will get astroturfed by the powers that be through the control mechanisms of shame and money.
There you go.
It's always
happening. There you go.
Tea Party, right, Anonymous, whatever. You know.
Yeah, right, right. All right, talk to me about cattle mutilation for a minute. We got about 4 minutes left, and it's my understanding that Tucker Carlson has a new show, like a special sort of like quote-unquote investigative journalism intrigue sort of show. And I've noticed over the past couple of years, he's been somewhat involved in all of the odd, you know, weird DOD propagandas, right, about, you know, UAPs and all that stuff. And it dovetails nicely with what I've talked to NY Patriot about recently, which is the whole Skinwalker Ranch thing. So now they've gone so mainstream that Fox's Tucker Carlson is going to be doing specials on cattle mutilation. What do you make of this, sir, up there in your spaceship as you look down on us weirdos on this blue roundish or flatish discish? I don't know what it looks like from up there. Maybe you can enlighten us some other time. But what about the cattle mutilation, man?
Cattle mutilation is 100% real. The only question is who or what's doing it. Since the 50s, I believe, and maybe even a couple into the 40s, farmers, usually out west, although it has been as east as Tennessee and maybe once in Georgia, have found their cattle after they go out. They leave them for the night in the field and they go to bed. They go out in the morning at 1, 2, sometimes up to 5 or 10 cattle will be slaughtered and have parts removed in a very surgical manner, usually the anus, the eyeballs, and the tongue, as well as some other things, sometimes the ear, in a very, not a sloppy way, like an animal's eating them, like circular cuts, smooth. They will be burned. They'll have an uptick in radiation if you bring a Geiger counter out to them. Some of them will look like their bones have broken on the inside, as if they've been picked up and dropped. People have reported seeing UFOs around these incidences, black helicopters, all sorts of things. But the as far as paranormal quote-unquote activity goes, we have the most physical evidence that you can absolutely not deny about cattle mutilations. Cattle are mutilated in strange ways in the fields. And it's no one's quite sure who's doing it. I did a show on that a long time ago, and it is my opinion that it is mostly, although not all cases, a government operation to practice stealth and silent killing of special forces units. Like they go in the night, abduct the thing, because, you know, a cow will make noise if you're trying to like slaughter it and cut it up in the other cows. And I think that's a little outlandish, but that's the best that we could come up with at the moment. Like, that doesn't seem like a good answer, but all the other answers are more ridiculous. So I'm not sure what's going on there. I doubt that, but it's been going on for a long time. As recently as like 2 or 3 years ago, and maybe sooner, I haven't looked in a while, people were losing sometimes 10, 20, 20 head of cattle in a night in this strange way. So yeah, who knows what's going on with that? We used to have cows, and occasionally you would see, we would go out there and there'd be like rings in the ground. I still haven't, I think that was, you know, there'd just be like a ring of dead grass or like a ring of,
yeah,
It's strange. I don't know what goes on at night in cow fields.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And it's sort of, it's a big one, right? And it's become a big one right now because, you know, the Bigelow Aerospace Group, they sold their land there at Skinwalker Ranch, where they've been doing experiments, under ATIP and Bigelow for a long time. And, now it's in private hands of a tech guy, from the Mormon Church, but that's a whole nother story because we only got 20 seconds left, man. Thank you for joining me today, Sumo. Look forward to your next appearance here.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It was great.
All right. That's Sumo from the Mystical American Patriot Society, your worldview repair service. Find them on all good podcasting apps and at alternatecurrentradio.com. This is Brian McLean for today's News Talk. Thank you and have a great day.